Okay. Yesterday we left off sort of just about finishing Rava on the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph. And so we pointed out that Rava, Abaye understood Rava's idea of a Diras Arai versus Diras Keva. And Rava said, no, it's not an actual Diras Arai versus Diras Keva, but rather it's a conceptual one. In other words, something that's roy to be as such, so that's what it's supposed to be. Okay. Now, I'm not going to belabor this. I'll mention this very briefly. Some of you saw the Ritva inside. I spoke about this a little bit yesterday, but I only sort of spoke about the first part of the discussion. We mentioned Rabbi Zeira's principle of Kalaroi Labila and Bila Makevespo. There is a machlokas Rishonim here, which again, I don't think it's that, in larger terms, I don't think it's that significant, is whether or not you can actually build a sukkas arai above 20 amos. Clearly people don't. Ein adam oseh could be read as a person can't, or as I think the pshat is, the way the Ritva says, people don't normally. Ein adam oseh bilas o bilas nos. Therefore, if you, what emerges though from this machlokas of whether people don't or people can't is whether in fact you could apply Rabbi Zeira's principle. So I'm going to ask you to sort of flesh that out for a moment. If you, in other words, under what circumstances could you argue, which of those two positions would allow you to argue that Rava holds that this is exactly the principle of Kalaroi Labila Ein Bila Me'akevespa? One way you can actually absolutely say that, and one way you absolutely cannot say that. Noam?
If people don't normally do it,
then
you can apply the principle. Because even if you did do it,
I didn't ask the question properly. You got the right idea. It's in the reverse. In other words, the hesper of Rava cannot be Rabbi Zeira's principle if Rava believes people can make a sukkah, because he's passing the sukkah. So if people could make a sukkah, but they don't normally, it would be roy to be a diras arai. You're just not making it as such, and it should be kosher. But if you read like Tosfos, that you cannot make a sukkah, again, I don't quite see it clearly in our Tosfos, but the Ritva cites it in the name of Tosfos. It might not be our Tosfos. If it's impossible to make it a diras arai above esrama, then you could employ Rabbi Zeira's principle. Why is it not likely that in fact that's, and the Ritva himself thinks, no, you can make a sukkah above 20 amas, it's just people normally don't, because it's not great construction, and therefore, the Torah's demand is simply to make a sukkah in a way that people typically make an arai. It's nothing to do with kolaroi, lios arai, in arai, makevespo. What is the problem with the first approach that the Ritva outlines, in other words, what he attributes to Tosos? Daniel? You can't.
With technology like evolved, and you could theoretically make.
Let's not go there. I would say if the technology evolved, you might have just been you're finding a better way to make a diras keva. That's all. So what's the problem? There's an obvious problem. The Rav points it out. Why would Rabbi Zeira disagree with Rava? The Gemara on the top of Beis Amud Beis says, Kulu kiraba lo amri, because of Y. Kulu kirabi zera lo amri, because of X. And kule kiraba lo amri, because of Z. Kusha dabaye. So the Rav points out, remember, this, when we learn, we often don't pay attention to who the Baal the Memer is. In most cases, you ask someone, what does the Gemara say about X? It's the Machlokas Amorayim. And that, a Talmud Chacham, many Talmud Chacham will know. And then you ask them, which Amorayim? And how many of them can tell you, oh, it was Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. It was Rav Machlokas Rav Papa and Rav Huna Rav Yeshua. It was Machlokas Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak and Rava. Right? How many can tell the answers? We're not trained to pay careful attention. The Baalei HaTosfos, most we've shown them, and maybe Acharonim until at least recently, paid very, very careful attention. I suspect, by the way, that those who are more inclined to conceptual interpretation are less likely to notice who the Amorim actually are. But that's not a rule, because I'm not so good at either, and that's not my intuitive, way of doing it. I suspect that the more you chazer a Gemara, and we don't typically do chazara, or most people don't do chazara, the more you chazer it, the more likely also you are to notice who the names are. But be that as it may, in this particular case, Rabbi Zeira happens to be the second reason that's offered. Rabbi Zeira happens to be the second reason that's offered. Okay. So these are the three reasons that are offered. When we're finished the sugya, there's only really one tosis of interest to me I want to read, which is the bottom tosis on Amud Aleph, but I want to go on. But yes, Morty?
Why is it so obvious that you can build a sukkah that's keva, that's less than Shemama? Meaning, why is it obvious to Abaye and Rava that can be answered or
possible? So the answer is because... So I could give you two answers. My instinctive answer, which might be wrong, is that because everybody knows people build sukkahs that are solid. But if you want a better answer, is the Mishnah that says that habayin shenifchas the sikei chaleha, right? As long as the schach's in dalet amos. Now that's a bias. You're literally dealing with a permanent house, which is everything but the roof, right? So I think it's known, but I can in this case you can bring mishnayos that demonstrate that in fact that it's good. So I just want to stop for a second and ask a very basic question, which is, what do these reasons reflect, if anything, about the mitzvah of sukkah and its purpose? And it's a detail. Nobody I know. I don't know of anybody who builds a sukkah 20 amos tall, or would have built a sukkah 20 amos, I should never know. You can fill in your town. You know, when if you live in place X, where each one's trying to outdo the other with the palaces they build, so halavai, they should also outdo each other with the sukkahs that they build. I'd be surprised if there's a correlation between house size and sukkah size that would be consistent across the board. But ideally, you'd hope, like, to think the people who live in palaces would also build palatial sukkahs, you know, because of either mitzvah or because they want to show everybody the kind of sukkah they can build. Nobody realistically, even when people build sukkahs, I don't think anybody, how many houses are 20 amos tall? I suspect in Teaneck at least, 20 amos might be taller than code allows. I don't know what, I know there's a rule about how far, firstly, you need a very big property to do it. There are rules about setback, the height of the house and the setback from the street. So at least on the section that I live on, so I don't think there are houses that top out more than 25 feet above the ground, which is well short of Esrim Amos. Nobody, I could just see someone living in a house like mine and building a sukkah that's taller than that. That's not happening. Okay, fine. So Lemaisa, you know, the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to have a discussion about which reason we paskin like. In reality, I've never seen in my life a situation that even remotely approached it, that someone had the shayla, ooh, is it above or below 20 amos? We better take out a tape measure and check. So, we can ask a more fundamental question then, which is, what do these reasons each reflect about the mitzvah sukkah? Noam?
As he puts the pasuk, it's kind of a retrospective experience. You're kind of looking back historically on what happened.
So that's true, but everybody will agree the time of the Kra is explicit here, right? We know why we're given the mitzvah of sukkah.
I would argue that maybe according to Rava, it's more of a present experience.
So I'm going to shape that a little bit. I haven't looked at this in years or decades. You should take a look for a Bach. I believe there's a Bach who talks about, I don't know if it's Kavan on the sukkah, but he talks about there might be actually some type of a mitzvah when you walk into the sukkah, to be Mekayim, actually to sort of acknowledge something or recognize it. And in the absence of that, I don't know if you're not Mekayim the mitzvah, that's not sort of a halachic notion, but it would suggest that in this particular case, you could say the mitzvah Tzricha Kavana, there certainly is a notion in Rabbah's opinion is that we're supposed to make an extra effort when we walk into the sukkah to sort of recognize what we're doing. In other words, and the truth is when we think about, it's a fair question, I'd ask the question to myself, when I sit in the sukkah on Yom Tov, what do I think about? I think about that I'm sitting in the sukkah. I think about when I make the bracha. I think about, is the sukkah kosher? I think about the mitzvah sukkah, but I don't necessarily stop to think about actually why we're sitting in the sukkah. I know why we're sitting. You know why we're sitting in the sukkah? Why am I sitting in the sukkah? Because God told me so. That's a very important discussion we will have probably many times this year, not related to sukkahs, because that's another major contemporary issue, the notion of tzivui. So I'm sitting in the sukkah because God told me so. Okay, but why did God, you know, your child tells, you know, you tell your child, you know, put this on. Why? Because I told you so. All right, so fine, we understand that. But is there something beyond that? So here there seems to be a notion of wanting to really internalize kivasu koso shafti es b'nei Yisrael. And what is, in fact, the message in that? Fine. Now, moving along, I think that probably is the same reason for Rava. right? Rava's reason, why is it that you have to build a Sukkah Diras Harai? The answer is because the Torah said, Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamim, Dira, which is only Riyah for Shivas Yamim. Okay, but why? So, and Darshanim have spoken about this, and normally you wouldn't mention this year, but I said I want to talk about these things at least a little bit because they're worthy of mention. Which is, it's to remind us about the frailty of life. It's to remind us how precarious a situation could be. And it's only Chastei Hashem many times that we don't even realize that we survive, that we thrive, that things don't happen to us, that the good things do happen to us. And living in a Sukkas Arai reminds us perhaps of what the alternative could be. And when we previously lived in a Sukkas Arai, so that was B'chastei Hashem in leaving Mitzrayim, that God protected us. So both of these, I think, are both reasons are ones I think that definitely point in the notion of Sukkos is a reminder that that everything comes from Ribono Shel Olam. We have existed at times in a more precarious situation. We might now be in a less precarious situation, but we go into the Sukkah, which has to be a Diras Arai, to remind us, L'man Yedu Diras Eichem Ki Vasu Kosov Shafti Esvei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim. What about Rabbi Zeira? Hello?
I would suggest it's more of kind of a look towards the future in a way, and God's role in shaping, for lack of a better term, the destiny of Jewish people, specifically because he serves as much a pasuk about Mashiach.
So I'm not sure I understand the first half, but I think your second half is a very good observation. I don't have an answer, by the way. Reb Zeira, I don't know quite what to put in, but Hillel says the following. Hillel says that if you look at... how many of you looked up the Psukim in Yeshaya? I have a question. For those who did not look up the Psukim in Yeshaya, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, on the next Amud, they're going to say, why don't they like Rabbi Zeira? And the Gemara's parrot is, because it should have said, V'chupati el etel yomam. It doesn't say Vesuka. Do you like that question? Is that a reasonable question? I'm sorry, that was Reb Zeira's answer. He says, because it could have said V'chupati el etel yomam. So the first to understand the discussion, what is that pasuk stating? It's stating in the Messianic era that it will be, if things will be peaceful enough, that a sukkah is enough etel yomam, right? And it will be enough to protect you from anything you need. So when Reb Zeira says it could have said the chupati etzal yomam, what kind of an answer is that? Where is that coming from?
In the context of the pasuk, it could fit the meaning just as well.
I know, but that's like, well, it could have said bia. Could have said, I mean, like, why is that so? Why is that a compelling text? Maybe sukkah is the word that made the most sense there. Right, I mean, how common is the word of chuppah? Neither is probably the most common word in Tanakh. Daniel?
I think he's sort of drawing attention to the literary aspect of using the word sukkah. I mean, he said he could have been a different word, but it was very specifically chosen sukkah because it wanted to have this double meaning.
So let me ask you a question. Yeah. Assuming I could come up with another word of something, I don't know if there is in Tanakh, do you think that Reb Zeira could have said, then the Pasuk should have said that other word?
No, I think the whole point of what he's saying is that the reason it didn't use a different word. For example, I think he's saying, for example...
Okay, so I'm contesting that particular point. Is that true? It was for example? Noam, what were you going to say?
I think it's specifically, he's pointing out that specifically using the sukkah to kind of connect it back to the concept of the halachic sukkah.
Okay, I'm being unfair here. I'm not being unfair. See, you remember I gave a whole arichus in intro about what the Oz V'Hadar has done, right? Who was there? Where's Noah? Oh, there you are. Right? So you heard this. A whole thing about a question that I got a cycle and a half ago in Ksubos, which I wouldn't have gotten the previous cycle. Why? Because a cycle and a half ago, there was an Oz V'Hadar Shas, so the Balabas who came and asked me the question, because he looked at the Pasuk on the side, he looked at the Pasuk the Gemara quoted, and they weren't exactly the same. But had he come 7 years before, so he would never have asked me the question. Why? Because the Pasuk wasn't printed on the side. The problem for you guys is that even if you looked at the Pasuk printed on the side, you only looked at the Pasuk printed on the side. You didn't look at the section of Yeshaya. The previous Pasuk says, I may not get the quote exactly right, talking about the Eschaton, Uvara Hashem al kol mechon har tzion val mikra eha, Anan yomam va'ashan, v'noga eish lava laila, ki al kol kavod chupa, v'suka tiyel etzel yomam mechorev, and so on and so forth. Reb Zeira took the pasuk umechupa, the idea of chupa, from literally the previous word that had just been used. So he said, why did the Torah, why did the Navi vary his language to sukkah when he just had the word chupa? So, of course, the biblical scholar in me would say because variety in language is much better. Rishonim know this. So the way the Gemara explains why the Gemara the Bignei Zun Neshech, Dr. Elman likes to point out this Tosfos. Eizun Neshech talks about why does the Torah use Neshech and Tarbis? If this, and then the Gemara says they're the same thing. So Tosfos says why? Because it sounds nicer when you use two different words. Right? Repetitive parallelism with the same words sounds kind of silly. But the reason why Reb Zeira picked on chupa is because that was the previous word at the end of the pasuk. And it happens to be, by the way, I went reading the pasuk and I realized there was something else very significant to the previous pasuk. Listen again, it's talking about the eschatological period, right? The messianic era. Of course, preceded immediately by the fact that there was a singles crisis. And they just want his name, but they'll provide their own support. Okay, so maybe that's a heralding the Messiah. So, Uvlara Hashem al kol machon har tzion v'al mikra'aha, anan yomam ashan, v'noga eish lahava laila ki al kavot chupa, v'sukat etzel yomam. I read this again looking back at it, and something's starting to dawn on me. I haven't fully fleshed this out. What is that now?
Anei kavot.
More. Okay, go further. Okay, you don't know. Yair's already gotten this, okay. Gail?
We a little carefully. One time looked at this. The Kavod Hashem almost always takes the form of either Eish HaAnan. The fact that you're using Eish HaAnan, it might just be the way of describing the Kavod Hashem. It's always described.
I'm no longer making a pshat. Okay, no. Go ahead. Somebody else. I understand. I'm not surprised that fire and clouds are associated with God. It's all over. I got that.
It's not clouds, but specifically God's cover.
God's, I understand.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, well. Yes, because God's kavod is what you can see.
Yeah.
I understand. So what's really interesting here is you have Sukkim talking about anane kavod and sukkah. And I haven't worked it out yet, but I'm kind of wondering whether or not the machlokes hatanoim, one of the things that's working in the back of their mind is how do they read these Sukkim? Because right, the pasuk in Vayikra doesn't really tell you anything. It doesn't give you any information. But any information whatsoever. And it's a machlok is whether those were physical sukkos or whether those were anane kavod. This particular pasuk is one pasuk, maybe the only time, I didn't do a search yet to see with the word sukkah, but I did work with sukkah. But I wasn't looking to see if there were anything about God's glory and clouds and fire and so on next to it. It's almost as if I'm wondering whether the Tanaim, in fact, are arguing about how to read these pasukim. This is a phenomenon that is more common than one might realize. I'm not going to elaborate now. There are many instances, I believe, where you have midrashim and the discussion, whether it's a medrash chazal or discussion, where what's actually behind the medrash is a pasuk, but the pasuk is actually not quoted at all. But it's clear what they're doing is a pasuk. And I'll give you to look up on your own one gemara where it is absolutely clear. It's a gemara in Rosh Hashanah, I think it's Daf Yud Beis and Aleph, about what happened around the time of the Mabul. The Gemara, it talks about what God did. That day and night, you know, were no longer differentiated. That God took a couple of stars out of the constellations of Kima and Ksil, and he brought the Mabul to the world, which obviously means he opened the plugs and the water that sits above the Rakia drained out. But that's not, where did Chazal come up with that from? There's a pasuk in Hosea, Osei Kima uchesil vofeich laboker tzalmoves hakorei lemei hayom vayishpechem apanei eretz Hashem Shema. I think I didn't quote the beginning of the pasuk. It's clear the Gemara Rosh Hashanah is just a parsing of that pasuk. He took two stars out of Kima and Ksil. Where'd they get that from? They actually got it from Hosea, but they don't quote the pasuk. So I'm wondering if what's going on with the Ananeh HaKavod, that machlok is about pasukos, might be tied to this pasuk as well. For our purposes in the sugya, all you need to realize is that where Reb Zeira came up with the word chupa was because that was the word that was used in the immediate preceding pasuk. Right? Okay. So ki al kol kavod chupa. So even if you have the Oz v'Hadar and you think you're done enough, you haven't done enough. You got to pull out the Tanakh and you have to look it up. Morty?
So in terms of Rosera's drasha, so he takes the word "letzel yomam" out of that pasuk, but why don't we learn also that it has to be machazel mizemah?
Somebody must talk about that particular question.
Tosfos directly addresses that.
Okay, so that's why. Excellent. Okay. Yeah, I know, but that doesn't really answer the question, I think. I mean, he's answering the question, but I'm not sure I understand that answer. Because like, Rabzeri doesn't have an idea of an arai. As is very clear. I mean, he might have a rai by the schach. I'm not denying. He doesn't have a rai by the walls. But in other words, the bottom line of the pasuk is still difficult, even after Tosis is teretz. Tosis is just saying that even if you don't require real arai by the walls, you call it real arai by schach. And Reb Zeir himself would require, yeah, but you still have to, what do you do with the pasuk? Mizerim mimatar. Somebody must, the question's too obvious. I don't need to solve a problem now. I want to come, yes. Yeah.
Tosis is saying that the sukkah is something that protects you from the elements. That's what Bezerra's final reading. Pasuk says the sukkah is something that protects you from the elements. It doesn't protect you from any elements, it's not a sukkah.
I know, but it's still very strange that pasuk that your model of sukkah is the eschatological sukkah. Is the kurta yitzel yamam mechorev? How does the pasuk go? Unumachseh unumistar mizerim matar. I mean, I can play the game if you want that the esnachta is mafsek, so it's only what's before the esnachta, right? That's chorev, which is dryness and heat and so on. Tzel and chorev. That's all? Okay. And the question's better than the answer, but okay. The real answer to the question, by the way, is that the pasuk itself is an asmachta. The din is the din d'oraisa of Zera. Reb Zera is just using that pasuk to demonstrate that what sukkah typically is for is in fact sel. But I think that the... What's the word? Anybody know what the word in Aramaic for sukkah is? First, I didn't say this yet. Yeah, sukkos is mitalaya, and mitalalta would be probably the singular. What does the word mitalalta mean? Tess is cognate with tzadi. It's tzel. Right? Mitala. What's the three letter Hebrew word for tzel? What the three letters of the root? Tzadi, lamed, lamed. Like tzila, you see it in there. Mitalalta is tes lamed lamed. That's all. So almost the definition of the word, the Aramaic translation of the word reflects that the word sukkah means shade. Okay. Fine. Yes.
How do you know that the din is about shade? Where do you get that?
I don't know the answer to that question. It's just known. Because a sukkah, look, one of the things that we'll see when we get to both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, is a sukkah bias?
No.
No. Right? It's clear both sugyos in different ways arrive at that conclusion with not quite the same question. So a sukkah is not a bias. So we know what a bias does. Right? What is a sukkah really? Why do people build a sukkah? If it's raining, you don't build a sukkah. You build a sukkah, the Gemara talks about sukkas radvash, sukkas ganvach, sukkas roim, sukkas ganavim, all these sukkas. What are they? It means you put together a little shelter. Right? The shelter is not protected from rain. The shelter is protected from what you need most of the time, which is the sun. It's shade. That's how probably they knew, because you knew. You know, I feel like it's a little like not quite the same thing, but, you know, it's a big machlokas about the esrogim or kavim. Right, the hybrids, a little bit, whatever you want to call a morkov. So Chaim apparently has a famous line. How do you know that a morkov is possible? He says, you should take the Torah esrog, and morkov is not an esrog. It's a little bit, it's like, that's just what it is. Yes, you hear that?
So if it's just a smach, then we know that sukkah needs shade. So then what's Rava and Rava's objection of, oh, it's only talking about eschatologically, whatever, it's just an smach then.
It's still going to be an asmachta, right? In other words, it's a pasuk from Nevi'im. And it's not even a pasuk telling you the din. In theory, the reason why is it not really an asmachta? Why might be, I don't want to say a legitimate limud, why might it be a problem having a pasuk here? It's gilu mil sabayama. It's like the Gemara in the beginning of Baba Kama about ki gach shoras ish, in the gicha ela bekeren. They quote a pasuk from Michayu ben Yibla in that story with Tzidkiyam and Kanana. They're just telling you what the word means. Right? But I would argue, so I understand that they, In other words, their basis of disagreement is not necessarily because they're debating, but you think that Rabba and Rava don't really think that the purpose is the schachis tzel? Right? In other words, they know the Mishnah, tzilas amiru b'vechamah, so they understand. The question is that the defining element that passels a sukkah gavo l'mala me'asrim? So if he's quoting asmachta, they're responding in asmachta terms.
So therefore, they could have also responded that this question.
What's that?
They could have also responded.
Yeah, Enochanami. I think so. But I think that they're not. In other words, you know, they respond to Rav Zeira in Rav Zeira's terms. And yes, they could have perhaps have given that question still remains. But I think that the essence of Rav Zeira's teretz is not the pasuk. The pasuk is a gil l'musa mamet. It's something that we know already. A sukkah is fitzel. Witness the Aramaic name. And so they say, it's true, a sukkah is fitzel, but that's not the psul here. That's not the psul of Gavo Olamale Masarama. They're saying, even, and they might even, by the way, agree with Rav Zeira, that if you did, I'll ask you the following question. Let's say, take Rabbi's, I know, it's a fair question. I don't think I saw anybody discuss this. According to Rabba, the Gemara says, if the defanus amagios nischach, it's good. Would Rabba say, if you had a sukkah that was so small, less than dalet al dalet amos, you know, 2x2 amos, where, if you were to take away the walls, because of the way the sun, because we're in the northern, we're above the tropics, the sun would, the shade of the sukkah would not actually shade anything on the bottom of the sukkah. Would Rabba disagree with Rabbi Zeira? It's hard to imagine. I mean, I'm just saying this now on the fly. It's hard to believe that Rabba would disagree, anybody would disagree with Rabbi Zeira on that point. In other words, Rabba is really
Rabba
most of...
Rabba
was going to say you can't see it. And if the defanos amagios leschach, you can.
Yeah.
But would he say, if it is so small... In other words, for Rabba, it doesn't matter how big the sukkah is.
Yeah.
If the defanos amagios leschach, no good, because you're not going to see the schach. But I want to know, would he really say, if it's so small, it's good, if in fact the shade that you were getting was not from the schach, but was from the walls? I don't know. He might agree. Of course you're right, Rabbi Zeira. But I think that he's saying, he could be saying to Rabbi Zeira, you know, there's a much bigger problem here. It's not just about tzel. That would be an issue in a Hanami.
So he agrees with
he could accept Rabbi Zeira's principle, but he postles much further. Rabbi Zeira would say, once you reach Dalet al Dalet Amos, you're fine. The founders do reach the schach, the founders don't reach the schach. I'm saying it's hard to me to see anybody disagreeing with the premise of Rabbi, unless you disagree physically with Rabbi Zeira, unless you think that there always is shade. But it's hard to imagine saying that if the schach would provide no shade on the bottom of the sukkah, it's not hard to imagine that anybody would say it's kosher.
Then we could have just said that they agree with him, but they also hold their own thing, and therefore they accept.
But so Rav Zeira was saying, though, that basically tzel of the sukkah is the sole definition.
The fact that you're saying there's this whole like behind the scenes argument.
The bottom line is you can't. Rav Zeira is certainly a basic definition of sukkah. Would Rabba really disagree with him if you had the defanos magiyos leschach and a tiny, tiny sukkah? It's possible. I independently, as far as I'm saying, it's hard to imagine. But right now, the dialogue is really about what is it here, what is the fundamental psul in the sukkah above 20 amos? Rav Zeira says it's a tzel issue. Rabba says the fundamental issue is not a tzel issue. Tzel might be a problem. The fundamental issue is you won't see the schach. And Rabba says the fundamental issue that this sukkah is its quintessential definition is a diras keva.
Then you don't really need them to be arguing on each other like in that sense.
Well, no, look, you can always have many machlokas where one has greater requirements than the other, but they are disagreeing completely with one another. What's the reason for the psul of the Mishnah? And what's the reason of the sukkah? The fundamental reason of psul above 20 amos. So, okay. Fine. So anyway, so what is the reason? We're still coming back to the question. For Rav Zeira, what is the message about the tzel of sukkah? So Hillel said something about looking forward, right? In other words, his pasuk is from the Messianic era. But I want to understand how that connects still to the idea that you have to be getting the what is the message? In other words, I made things worse. I basically said, and maybe it's the answer, there is no particular message of Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira is the most basic definitional issue. Right? Schach that doesn't break tzel is not schach. You don't need to understand the basic hesper. It's just not the mitzvah. The Torah said, basukos teshvu. And sukkah, by definition, means mitalalta. It has to provide shade.
Is it the question still standing?
Correct. I understand. Okay. Because that the answer is because that's what sukkahs normally do. And because we dwelled in sukkahs or things that were like sukkahs, we have to imitate a sukkah. And to be like a sukkah, this is the most basic definition. That's all. Morty?
But the cell definitely represents protection. No, that's the context of the puzzle.
So you want to say it comes back to the exact same theme. Right? In other words, by introducing the reason why you have to get Hana from Dafka, now I'm going to fall into Abaye's trap with Jared. The reason why at least Yitzchak has to be Roy to give you Hana, the reason it has to be Roy to give you Hana, and by the way, I should have said this earlier, I don't think the Ritva says this, Reb Zeira's position and his teretz to Abaye is exactly quintessential Rabbi Zeira. Right? He says, even if you have Ashtaros Karnayim where you get no Hana from the Schach, since the Schach is Roy to give you Hana, therefore, it doesn't matter whether Ashkenaz Kanaim are there or not. But Reb Zeira is saying that you need to have Schach, which is Roy, to give you the Hana, but the Schach, by its very definition, is temporary. And it's to remind you that the real protection comes not from the Schach, but comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, so it could be... not surprisingly, all reasons lead down the same road. The only thing I would say is I think that Hill is right here, and maybe he's incorrect. Comes to this is not Yetzias Mitzrayim focus necessarily, right? This is about how I'm living now, right? Rava, and then the question becomes whether Rava, in fact, could also be like Rabbi Zeira. Whether Rava clearly is historically linked. It's looking backwards. It's possible that Rava could be very much like Rabbi Zeira as well. In other words, in some level, Rabbi Zeira requires you're getting benefit from the schach, which happens to be Arai, and Rava requires you to build a building which could be Arai. The scope of a building that could be Arai. No?
I really think all three she does a definition. Rabbi Zeira, Rava, especially according to Tosfot, who's saying that definitionally that the schach has to be Arai, right? That's also, you could say that din is also ma'akev. Rabbi Zeira's general principle, it creates more shade than sun, but if it's something that's permanent, then it's no good and it doesn't matter, so it's also not considered halachically schach. So I don't see why Rabbi Zeira's shita is any more definitional than Rava's, or for that matter, Rava's, who says that you need to have the idea.
So you're raising a question there, which is actually touched upon by the Yerushalmi. Is there a difference between Kiroi and Schach, fundamentally, a fundamental difference, as opposed to a situational difference? In other words, if I build a house with a roof, that's a bias. Just because, and nothing I can do until I rip the roof out, is going to make that good to be a sukkah. But the question is one of the definitional differences between a bias and a sukkah is that a sukkah has Schach and a bias has a korah, as a Kiroi. A bias is a mikorah. Ultimately, by the way, the Yerushalmi seems to say, this is the next place we're going after we're done, hopefully by Monday, getting through this Gemara. The next place is the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi sounds like it says that no, fundamentally there is no substantive difference. If that's the case, then that can't be, I don't think you can say what you said.
So Tosfot didn't have the Yerushalmi in front of it?
No. You're arguing that, by definition, Kiroi is not called Tzach. You can say that the schach has to be Arai. I would argue for the very same reason that Reb Zeira says that you have to be nana from the tzel of the schach, which is Arai. Which is you have to remember that you're living in this world, your existence in this world is precarious. That's all.
There's no nafka mina between a proper ceiling in schach that's Arai.
I'm not sure I do. Let's wait till we get there.
Okay.
Hello? Well, you do have the word, if it's not clear what the word means, ki it's benini bisuko, but it's not clear whether that suko is what that word means. So I'm gonna That's true. That is true. But I have to warn you now, which is, if you're going to talk about it in Daraisa, you're going to have to establish that Midaraisa, that is the theme of the season. And I'm not sure protection is what I would describe. Anyway, even as it is, even though I grant you the David is that, but firstly, the role of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is clear Midaraisa. Yom Kippur is a day of Mechila and Slicha. Rosh Hashanah's role Midaraisa is far from clear. The whole concept of Aseret Me'etshuva, there's a very famous Me'iri about this. And the question of when Adam is Nidon in the Machlokas Atanaim. So it's certainly far from clear that we talk about that season. I agree that L'davar Hashem certainly is the case, but it's a very late practice. In fact, someone was asking me, where does that minhag stem from? I think that any Yekkes here? Did the Yekkes? I believe the Yekkes don't say it. You haven't grown, what? No. I mean, Rinat Yisrael is not a Yekkes place. But the real Yekkes, you have to ask, he just moved to Israel, what's his name, David Roth. You ask one of the guys who davens in Breuers whether they say the David. It's not in Shulchan Aruch, I believe. So anyway, okay, so I don't have to connect it to the season specifically, but certainly I think as a larger theme, the idea of our precariousness and our dependence upon God. More on that at the end of Shir. Noam.
How do you relate these kind of meta reasons to Psak Halacha?
Well, the way the Amoraim are presenting it, they are understanding the din, as they are claiming that this din itself is in fact a product of the Halacha, of this particular reason. It's a larger question. I'd like to say the following. There's a machlokas in the Gemara about Darshin, time of the Kra, Lo Darshin, time of the Kra. What that means when the Gemara uses those terms, and that is the stem of the Gemara's interpretation, in deference to Rabbi Klapper, it's a stem of the Gemara's interpretation of a number of machlokos. It is sometimes almost seemingly inconsistent. The Gemara has to contort itself to make it conform. The machlokas Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon. What is the machlokas according to the Gemara? The machlokas is whether or not, if you claim to know the reason for the pasuk, whether or not, when that reason applies, the din applies. When the reason doesn't apply, the din doesn't apply. In other words, it's not about giving reasons for psukim. It's rather regulating the application of a din based upon the reason. And what the Gemara also claims, maybe salient here, is that if the Torah spells out the reason, the machlokas flips. The mandama that said, lo darshin in the kramat kra, says now darshin time, not darshin, but the Torah says it, you apply, take the reason to apply. And vice versa. And Rabbi Shimon, who says normally darshin in time of the kramat kra, wouldn't accept the reason only there because the Torah needs to tell us, and so on and so forth. Now, in this case, we actually do have time of the kramat, l'man yidu dura seichet. But it is often assumed, it's not entirely clear that this is true, we pasken lo darshin on time of the kramat. There's actually a stira, right? Klapper pointed that to me a long time ago. There's a stira in the Rambams about why you don't do two paradumas at the same time and why you're not mashkin two sotos ka'achas. And the Gemara gives two reasons for each. One is according to one mandama, one is according to other mandama, and the Rambam quotes the reasons. He quotes one and one. The truth is, I'm not sure how halacha lemaisa. I mean, it is very much halacha lemaisa. It matters for cross-dressing on Purim and in school plays. Because there is a case where the Chazal read the Torah gives the reason, Kiso of Asa Shem. But we like to assume, it's often assumed, lo darshin and time in the crop. So I like to jokingly say, Brisker's never found a problem with this. You know why? Because when they find a reason for something, and they want the din to be dependent upon that, what do? They don't say that it's the reason for the din. They say it's a chelik of the din. Then you're done. Move on. It's an excellent technique, right? I say that a little tongue-in-cheek because clearly the line between the two is a blurry line. Right? I said, and I'll stand by this, the definition of a sukkah means shade. I think that Zeru was pointing out. Now, is that it's a chelik in the din. That's almost the definition. There's a line somewhere between definition and reason, and it's sometimes a blurry line. So is that what's going on here? Maybe. In other words, to what extent is the, in this case, either l'man yidu doro sechem, or whatever the message of the sukkah is, and again, the whole idea of being dependent upon God's providence is kiva sukkoso shafti esbe Yisrael. The question is, to what extent is that then incorporated into? And it may be that if all the Amoraim are coming from the same place, if Rav Zeira and Rava are both about Arai in one way, and Rava is explicit about it, that you might argue they're all in fact being Doresh Taima, which is Meforesh Bikra, and claiming that this is the basis for the din of 20 Amos. It's possible.
If, let's say, you were talking of different reasons, though, and we were to pass in like Rava, does that come to exclude the conceptual reasons of the others?
It might. In other words, the problem is, in this case, we know, I would say the following. There is a nafka mina between these shitas. The Gemara says, on Amud Beis, right, are you allowed to build a sukkah with the fanos that go to the schach and then make it taller than 20 amos? The answer to that question is, according to the Rif and most Rishonim, no, because we paskin like Rava. We accept that Rava's explanation is the reason. We might say it's the aspect of l'man yedidur seichem that the halacha has accepted. And since building the fanos to the schach would not accomplish Rava's l'man yedidur seichem, even though it would accomplish Rava's, that's not enough. Okay, so let's now move on to Amud Beis. Now, I want to correct one thing. I was looking over the Yerushalmi a couple of times again. The Yerushalmi does present the sequence a little bit like the Bavli, but not quite the same way. So even I'll stand by what I said, which is that the Ukimtas of Rav came first, and then the reasons the Amorayim come later. Just a chronological issue. I would almost argue that it's like they started with Rav's. Rav made a claim about the Mishnah, and his students, or his students' students, based upon that claim, inferred what the reason for the Mishnah was. And so let's take a look. First, read the, we already discussed this. Kulu, who's reading for me? Oh. Alter's read already. I can never remember who's read and who hasn't read. Okay. All right. It's like a selection process. Yeah, Ear.
Danny's only here today.
What's that?
Danny's only here today. I got it.
Okay, so they don't hold like Rabba, because we stuck, but Rashi explains Yidil Doros, that is the mitzvah, that's not how you makai in the mitzvah, but it's simply the purpose of the mitzvah, something like that. Yidil Doros haba in hekef sukkah sanayakar. Fine. Next. Okay, so that is necessary. That pasuk is only Mosa Mashiach, but Sukkah's mitzvah might not be Litzel. In other words, yes, the definition of Sukkah normally is Litzel, but not not the Sukkah of mitzvah. But just one comment also by Rizera, I'm thinking further. The fact that a sukkah, l'machzeh l'mistar mizer m'mimatar, that's not, whoever asked that question, I don't think that's really a question. In other words, l'machzeh l'mistar mizer m'mimatar doesn't mean that no water gets through. If you go in a sukkah, you know when the rain begins, where is it not raining? And when the rain ends, where is it still raining? Under the trees. Any hikers know that, right? And when the rain begins, your last place of refuge, you know, until it's really, really coming down for a while, is under the trees. And once the rain stops, you want to get out from under the trees if you don't want to get wet. Right? So a sukkah does provide, right? And when it's same thing's true with a sukkah, right? Sometimes the worst play time to sit in the sukkah is right after it stops raining. It's been raining a while. Then you could go into the backyard on your concrete patio and you can sit down and, you know, take your table out and it's perfectly lovely. But the sukkah is dripping water into your food. So the fact that a sukkah, in other words, the sukkah of al-Nachsel al-Mistar was not a sukkah that kept all the water out. And what we are saying, what we don't accept, is a sukkah that is so sealed that it's like a bias. That's all. So that, I think, does away with that question. Yehuda?
So are you backtracking? From
I'm backtracking. You persuaded me, so now I can backtrack. I think the essential definition of sukkah is tzel.
So what is Rabba's? Do you backtrack from thinking that Rabba would agree with Rabzera?
If you'll let me go on now, I'll backtrack from it, but I'm not actually. I'm still troubled by it. In other words, this was what the questions about the rain forced me into this.
Maybe it's about the schach versus the walls. Like, maybe Rabba would be fine. Maybe Rabba agrees that a defining aspect of sukkah is shade, but not necessarily does the shade have to come from the schach. It has to come from the sukkah.
So the reason I think that's difficult is because Rabba would agree, I think everybody agrees, that if the chamasa is tzilasa is mubu chamasa machmas deschach, but the defanos, you know, are allowing in. Oh well, we have to pick solar noon, and we did decide that. So maybe.
You can't see.
There's no. But then I guess the question is the following: if the words sukkah and schach are the same, why don't the requirements of the kashrus for the schach apply to the defanos as well? Now there might be one tana who does hold that way, Rabbi Yehuda. But if we hold that the Defanus can be made out of anything, it's hard to imagine that that any of the Amoraim, assuming that, and assuming Rabbah holds like that, not like Rabbi Yehuda, but like the Chachamim, it's hard to imagine saying that if the tzel comes from the walls, that's okay too, because the walls don't have to, you know, in any way be part of the sukkah. The walls could have been the bayis in the first place, right? That's what's hard to imagine. So I can backtrack to get out of your question now, and so I'll move on to the Gemara, but that question has forced me to really think about what Zera really is saying, is that the core definition of sukkah is tzel, in which case I'm going to be forced to raise the question whether they could, Rabbah or Rav Zera could possibly even disagree. Rabbah or Rabbah would disagree with Rav Zera, as opposed to they require more than that. You know, you're right, Rav Zera, you need tzel sukkah, but that in itself is not enough.
But once you say that, then they don't need an argument.
I know. I agree. So we'll have to. I could probably answer those. We spent a little time, maybe persistent, not persistent, but let's let that go for the moment. There was a Noah.
Aren't these just isn't the way that all three of Amoraim understand this just expressive of different elements of the sukkah or different elements of the scaf? Why I don't understand why it must be one over the other.
No, but the point is, the question that Yehuda is asking is, in other words, I'm claiming, I suggested that maybe, if it's so definitional, they would agree with Rabbi Zera. They would accept Rabbi Zera, but they have another requirement. In other words, Rabbi Zera says you have to get the tzel of schach in the sukkah. Nobody would disagree with that. But Rabbah says, in addition, you need to see the schach. Rabbah says that the building of the Fanos have to be arai. Right? In order to further drive home the point, it's not just the schach. The schach has to be arai mamish. The Fanos has to be roi to be arai. Right? But they both agree without, you know, especially Rabbah, because Rabbah you can't get to, but Rabbah, if you build the mechitzos all the way up to the schach, Rabbah says it's kosher. Would he really say it's kosher in a rosh aruba b'shulchan sukkah, in a place where there's no tzel of the schach below? I'm having trouble, hard time imagining that. You know?
I think it's kind of a machloket yourself to the Gemara as to whether he agrees or not. When the Gemara says, at the end of this discussion, Bishlam Rabbi Yoshia, Pligiad Rav Puna.
Yes, the two, yeah.
He also has the Yerusha from Rabbeinu Hananel that says, Lo Pligi.
So we'll talk about that when we get there. I don't know that's exactly the same as this. That's a different question. In other words, I asked you the question on the sheet. Why does Rashi wait to claim a machlokas amarayim alibi the Rav when he got to the third opinion? Isn't there a machlokas between the first two opinions? And it occurred to me the reason why Rashi doesn't say that is because the first two opinions could exist at the same time. Actually, you're right. That's exactly the point, right? The first opinion, if the first two are not actually, no, it doesn't work with the part of the Gemara you're talking about. It does, you're right. I'm sorry, you're correct. So it could be, Yehuda, that in fact the Gemara, the two kimtas of Rav, which reflect the opinions of Rabbah and Rabbi Zera, Rashi doesn't claim that this is stira. In other words, you could say the sukkah has to be dalet al dalet, and you could say that the sukkah also has to, you know, to have the Fanos Magios L'Schach. No, I'll tell you what won't work, actually. Because there it's an either or, not a both. Right? The way the statements read, in other words, if you want to accept, but you can't, my thought about Rashi originally, and I'll revert to that, is that the statements are not in Stira. Rav could be saying that either one of these two things might render the sukkah kasher. Either dalet al dalet. Now, what the sfera would be, I don't know. But either dalet al dalet or the fanos magias l'schach. Because they're not explicitly contradicting one another, Rashi doesn't have to say, pligi the rav ad the rav. But when he gets to the third one that says that only if it's Rosh HaShulchanah, but it's more than that, that clearly argues in the dalet amashita. He's forced to say that. But once you try to derive a sfera, it might be that all three are different opinions. So that's the way the Gemara probably sees it. That's an interesting question. Okay. Anyways, continue. He answers the question. And as Tosis points out, the Gemara didn't say Mishum Kusha Dabaye because he answered Abaye's question well. I would say, differing from Yair on this, I would say that the reason why they accept why the Gemara doesn't say Mishum Kusha Dabaye is because, and this is really just explaining, I would say, Tosha doesn't say explicitly, is that Rav Zera actually misunderstood what Abayi misunderstood what Reb Zeira's point was. He thought it was that you have to mamish get benefit from the tzel, the schach. And Reb Zeira's point really was is that there has to be that the schach cast a tzel in the sukkah that you potentially could benefit from, even if you're not in these circumstances. And once Abayi heard that, Abayi would have said, I misunderstood you. Because what Abayi understood was not Reb Zeira's intent. When it came to Rav and Abayi, Tosfos would say, and as the Gemara will say in a moment, he actually thought Rav's svara might not have been compelling. Right. In other words, Rava did qualify what he said. In other words, it doesn't have to be a diras arai, but the notion that as long as the shear is roy to be a diras arai, right? It's a very strange statement when you say, "Amra Torah kol shev asayam tsemi diras keva v'shev v'diras arai." When it doesn't mean v'shev v'diras arai, it just means shev and a dira that could have been theoretically arai. So it's not that you could imagine why Abayi hearing that would have said, "Please, okay." Was there a question here? Okay, continue. Fine. And finally, Karava. Fine. Now the Gemara is going to present three maimers, all in the name of Rav. Here, paying attention that they're all Rav is important. Qualifying the machlokes of what the machlokes read in the Chachamim applies to. So, Kaman Ozla.
Kaman Ozla had Amar Rabbi Yoshia Amar Rav.
So the Rashi, by the way, notes Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. What is Rashi Kamei Lafuke? Yeah, in other words, if you thought it through, you realize it's not possible. But Rav couldn't have been talking about the Machlokes Rabba, Rava, and Rabbi Zeira because Rav was, to the best of my knowledge, not a Navi. And even generally speaking, Nevuos, while Navi, even if he was a Navi, Nevi'im, I don't think Nevi'im are not given Nevuos about Torah. So, highly unlikely. Rashi says the Machlokes, Rav says, a review of the Chachamim, is which ain't the finest man gives the Sach. And whose position is that?
Come on, Karava.
Right. Okay. Now, the truth be told, does that have to be the explanation? Possible Rav meant something else, but I don't have a plausible alternative, right? The Gemara is suggesting that Rav's interpretation is going to come down to one, well, matches one of the three reasons before. Now, obviously, you know, the answer could have been no. It doesn't agree with any of the three reasons. How do you know that? The third one, right? There are three maimers of Rav qualifying the machlokes between the Chacham and the Mishnah, and the Gemara gets to the third one and says, come on, the lokachad, it doesn't fit any of them. Poor Rav was left out in the cold. Yes, which, by the way, based upon our comments yesterday, that Rav and Abayi, Rav's marks really a revolutionary shift in thinking to a conceptual model, it's not surprising Rav didn't say anything like that. Not at all shocking. Yes, Kessa.
When we were learning this part of the Gemara, Daniel and I had a sort of problem, had a problem with the concept of Shalta Ba'ena, especially when it comes to this part, like the wall is not, wall is being separate from the roof. I just, in the real life, if you have, in a tall sukkah, if you have walls that stop before the roof of the sukkah, it doesn't necessarily mean that you won't look up at this and see the sukkah, and see the schach.
You're asking a mitzias question. I can't, it's hard for me to evaluate. I have another mitzias question. I would argue, the Gemara is going to suggest that the Dalal al-Dalal al-Mashir is the Tzel issue. I could have argued that Dalal al-Dalal could have been Rabba Shita. Why? Because you can imagine the difference. If I walk, I mean, I think it's true, but it is true by the, what I'm about to say, I'm sure is true. If you walk into a narrow closet, there's one part for sure you're not going to see. The roof. Think about a very tall closet. You walk in. In order to see the roof, what do you have to do? Right? If I walk into Belfer Commons, I don't know if it's 20 amos tall, but I will see the roof of Belfer Commons. Not above my head, just because my vision. So I would have thought, we could differ and argue about here what the Mitzias is. This was their perception that, in other words, the truth is, I agree with you. I think that the Fanos are not what you, not all the Fanos make you see the Schach. You know what would make you see the Schach? If you have a pattern on the thing, and your eyes start to follow patterns, oh, cool roof, right? That's what will make your eyes travel. If it's a bland wall like this, I don't look at the roof of this room. And the only reason I see the roof of this room, I don't see that. I, you know, see it above the viewer's head. Morty?
I would say the difference would be if you don't have
it's a holy roof here, don't worry.
If you don't have a wall that goes all the way up, then because it's so open, it feels like you're outside. So you don't
I thought about that. The problem is that that's that then you'd have to qualify that because it really would depend on how far from the schach, right?
Right.
Unless you argue that in a chanami, except that Rav had to give an objective criteria, so the chachamim said it has to reach the schach mamish. If you tell me it's short of the schach, you know. I'll give you a very interesting test case, by the way, if I'm correct in that. And if you're correct, would you say Lovewood there? Would you say Lovewood if the Defanos reach within three Tvachim the Schach? So if the issue is a halachic one, then of course it should be Defanos Magias the Schach. If the issue is a Metzias one, then I would have said, if it's really true, you don't see it until it reaches the Schach. Now, so if you're right, then when it gets closer to the Schach, you're more likely to see it. I could more easily say love. And the Chacham were kovea that it that in a chanami, it doesn't have to really reach the Schach for you to see the Schach. It has to get, depending on the size of the sukkah and whatever else, it has to get close. But we have to be kovea shir, so we're going to say it must be mamish magia l'schach. And there, but if once you say that, if love might work.
It's possible that if it was love the Schach, it would be considered magia l'schach.
Right. In other words, only in a technical sense. In other words, if again, the key is the point. If it's a purely a mitzvah issue and you just don't see it until your eyes, until the schach reaches the walls reach the schach, then lovewood shouldn't help you. If we would be correct in saying that it has to do with the airiness and it's so open it doesn't feel like in a sukkah, so you don't look to the schach, then presumably that's true if the schach is here and the walls end here. But if it's like this, even more than three tefachim, so then you'll see it. Ah, but then why does it have to be magias l'schach mamish if it really should be read that way? The answer is because what shear are we going to give you? You know, and it depends on the size of the sukkah. So the Chacham just said it has to be magias l'schach. So I would argue if that's why they say magias l'schach mamish, but you really in principle shouldn't require it, then it's a din. It's a halacha that has to reach the schach. And if it's love, it might be that halacha it reaches the schach. Yehuda? You and your Meiri, yes?
It's an attempt, which is that you say that Derech Shel Adam to look at things that are in front of him. So you look at the wall. When you look at the wall, you see the spot at the very end of the wall.
Sounds like if you give a mouse, I told you. But, I don't know, whatever. I think you see a wall. I think I come in here, and I'm looking at the wall. I don't see. I dafka not looking into it. I'm looking at the wall. I would have assumed that the reason your eyes travel is if I see a tapestry, and I'm starting to go, it's like, oh, and then I see the ceiling. Okay, I don't want to belabor this. This is a sort of Metzias discussion.
People thought the shear, for this opinion, had to do with how far up you can look with your eyes without turning your head.
Okay, so but you understand that is going, I agree, that's why when I walk into the closet, I don't see the tall roof. I agree, but if that's the case, you're simply reinforcing my point that the longer the sukkah is, you're more likely to. In other words, that's why I said one could have argued that Dalet al Dalet Amos also fits with Rabbah. Right? Right. And let me flip it on its head from a historical perspective. If I am correct that the Amoraim partially might have been responding to earlier things, meaning they knew Rav's statements, you could ask the question, what should you infer from Rav's statement? So the Gemara is presenting its own statements. But I could see Rabbah knows which statement of Rav did Rabbah have. Firstly, when the Gemara says Kiman Kiraba, that is clearly, obviously anachronistic. That's like saying the reason why you don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you don't take the lulav of Rosh Hashanah on Sukkot on Shabbos, is because Mishum Gzeira the Rabba. Rabba didn't make the Gzeira. It's already in the time of the Mishnah. Rabba was a couple hundred years from being born, at least when that Gzeira was made. But we say because Rabba explains the Gzeira, we call Gzeira the Rabba. So here, but here I think it may be Ad the Rabba. It means that Rabbah looked at Rav's statement and he got his understanding of why the Sukkah's Psula points to Rav from Rav's statement. So the Gemara is saying, if he heard Rav say that the Panos Magias L'Schach is the criteria, Rabbah would have gotten his conclusion. It must be the one he heard. But I'm suggesting, based on even your reinforcing, it's possible Rabbah heard the statement, the Dalet Amos, Dalet Amos, and from that he walked away to Maskana, the exact same Maskana, that the bigger the Sukkah gets, you know, a small sukkah, I'm not going to see the roof. But as soon as I start to get 10 feet, I'm more likely to see it. I'm not, you know, in other words, you're saying to me, if you have to turn your head, I would say if you have to turn your head more than X degrees. No.
Is it possible that the only reason why the Gemara doesn't mention having a very long sukkah according to Rabba is the fact that there seems to be an assumption that the sukkah in question for the Mishnah is just very small. Everyone agrees, ignoring Rabba, that's a very small sukkah that the Machlok is talking about. So that's just not brought into discussion because it's irrelevant in this case.
No, but the Gemara, but the point is it is brought in. In other words...
Only later when it has to be relevant. Here we have a fix that doesn't require a longer sukkah, so we'll stick with the sukkah that we're dealing with.
So you're enamored of the idea of saying, ah, but maybe he would agree also. If there's I know. So, again, here's my problem. My problem is... See, if you want to say that you require both tzelsah and that you're going to see this ha, then okay, no. So you see, it will work to say that the second statement of Rav would agree with the first statement of Rav, but the first statement of Rav. I don't have to think about this some more. It's possible. Maybe it's possible. No, it's possible that both. No, it's possible that both statements of Rav are in agreement. It's not possible that both statements of the Amoraim, Rav and Rav Zeir, are in agreement. That won't work. In other words, if you say you require tzel sukkah, the Fanas Magias Mishach will not help you. If you, I believe, and it's only reinforcing my point to Rashi, you can accept that either Dalan Amos or the Fanos Magias Lachach are enough. Either one. Because if you want to accept both Remas, Rav is saying that the only time they argue is when the Fanos are not Magias Lachach and it's all small and Dalan Amos. Then you would have to say that both those point to the same issue. Hakaras Lachach, like Rabba. So that you can say, but they cannot be, the Rabba and Rav Zeir cannot be in agreement. At least not as the presentation goes here. Not from Rav's statements. Okay. Fine. Next case. Fine. Okay. And now finally. Okay, in other words, this shita says clearly, Rosh Hashanah, as long as it's a minimum size, or is Kedei Rosh Hashanah a minimum size of the sukkah?
Yeah.
I'll leave it at Beis Shammai. But it's pretty clear the Gemara here is working with that, or it's very likely. And we do possibly like Beis Shammai in that regard. Beis Hillel said Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara is saying basically, Rav is saying that only when the shear is an absolute minimum, the sukkah is an absolute minimum shear of the meshech in width and in depth. But once it's bigger than that, then everybody agrees you can have a sukkah above 20 amos. And the Gemara says that doesn't fit with anybody's shita, because once it's more than Rosh Hashanah Shulchan, let's say it's 8 tfachim by 8 tfachim. Rosh Hashanah Shulchan we say is 7 tfachim. 8 tfachim by 8 tfachim. So mitzad Rabba, you're not going to see the schach. Mitzad Rabbi Zeira, you're still not going to have tzel sukkah. And mitzad Rava, you still can't build it a diras arai normally because it's taller than 20 amos. So the Gemara says kemanda lo kachad. So again, there's obviously a problem here, and Tosfos was bothered by it. What's the problem? The problem is what? I'm sorry, what'd you say? I didn't hear. The problem is that Tosfos, well, what is the reason behind it then? Right? In other words, this shita that says that the machlokas is limited to the minimum shir sukkah of 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim, why is it puzzle when it's 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim that it becomes kosher as soon as you make it bigger? Right? Now, the question is a little bit, Tosfos' question is a good question. The Gemara's presentation is funny because they're putting the cart before the horse. Right? These opinions didn't exist. We're trying to map Rav to three opinions that came after him. where in reality, one would better argue that the opinions that came after him were derived from Rav's statement. So I would have asked two questions. Number one, what is the svara behind Rav Hanan bar Rabba? What his quotation, his citation, his maimer of Rav, what's the reason behind that? And number two, where did Rabba get his reason from? See, Rav and Rabbi Zeira got their reason from tradition. They had a tradition, they had a Misora about the Mishnah from Rav. There were two different Misoras. Where did Rabba get his position from? No, and certainly not any Ukimta of Rav. Yehuda?
That's not Shver. Like, you could have got it from somewhere else, not from either.
I know. And what you see from the... I get that. But it does fit with the notion that Rabba's is actually a revolutionary approach. It might be that he has a precedent. It might be it's his own Svara. His conceptual approach might be sort of, I'll call it a truth.
If he's saying this is the reason of the Mishnah, you can't really say, I'm coming up with a new reason for the Mishnah. He's saying this is the reason for the Mishnah.
But certainly we don't know of any... There's Rav, who was a Talmud of Rebbe, who would have probably known better, who's making major qualifications in the Mishnah. No known version of Rav conforms to Rav's theory. Right? You see, it would have been perfect, a beautiful literary structure here if the last Kiman was Kirava. So the point is, we have two questions. What is the Svara of Rav in that last Ukimta, if that's the correct one? And number two, where does Rabba coming from? So it could be, of course, Rabba has another tradition. Rabba is also allowed to come up with a svara to the Mishnah. Right? There's no reason. He's not always allowed to interpret the Mishnah. I'm just pointing out it works nicely with the general notion that Rabba's is a totally different approach. It's a conceptual approach, which is a new way of thinking about things. Right? You don't expect to find Rab making a statement along those lines, you know, that would suggest what Rabba is saying. That's all. Not impossible. And it's possible we just don't have the fourth maimer of Rav that offered, I don't know what the qualification would be exactly. Although it also may be for another reason. Can you envision a circumstance under which Rava would be machshir a sukkah that's above 20 amos? Kasser?
The walls already exist.
No, why would that help?
If the walls are already there and you just put the sukkah on top of it, would it matter if they're not...
The reason why you can't have a sukkah with walls that are above 20 amas for Rava is because 20 amah buildings, let me take it over easy for right now. Tosus says, definitionally, can only be built to stand up if they're built keva. I would presume, according to Rava, by definition, anything above 20 amos is not a good sukkah because by definition it's keva. So you don't expect Rav to make an ukimta in the Mishnah that says only in this case do they argue. But other cases, they would agree that above 20 amos is good. Because being above 20 amos for Rabba is a problem because of an external consideration. It prevents you from seeing the schach. For Rav Zeira, it prevents you from getting the tzel directly of the schach. For Rabba, above 20 amos is no good because by definition, it's not a sukkah, it's a bias. It's keva, not a rai, by definition. Again, because it has to be or because that's the way people typically build. You don't expect there to be a inukimta according to Rabba. In other words, Rav should not be talking according to Rava. So as I'm talking this out, because of your pushing me, which I appreciate, I'm realizing I doubt there was any other tradition. Because the traditions of Rav are all limiting the machlokas for Yehuda and the Chachamim. According to Rava, there isn't going to be any limitation of the machlokas for Yehuda and the Chachamim.
So maybe he simply didn't hold of any of these.
Correct. He definitely doesn't hold of any of these, for sure.
He doesn't accept them.
I assume in this case Rava probably heard them. Rava didn't accept them. I know, I agree. He definitely rejects all three. But you're saying maybe there's another one. And I'm saying, by definition, there can't be another one that Rav would accept. That Rava would accept, excuse me.
Unless, you somehow build walls on the Barai.
That's why I wanted to say, Tosfos and not the Ritva. That's why I want you to jump on me for that. So, okay, fine.
Himself rejects that. Because the Gemara says, no, it doesn't matter. If you build a 20 amah rai, a 30 amah rai building, Rabbi says it doesn't matter.
No, the Gemara doesn't say that explicitly. No, it doesn't say that. He says the reverse. He says if you build a shorter one, b'derech keva, it's good. He doesn't say if you build a taller one, b'derech harai. Otherwise, Noam, you couldn't have the machlokas harishonim. As to whether it's possible even to build above 20 amas arai, because it would be explicit in the Gemara that you can.
Well, that just means that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it can be kept.
No, you're suggesting the Gemara says the favor. You just said The Gemara holds says that you can't that you can build a sukkah above 20 amos arai. And I'm saying the Gemara does not say that, not explicitly. It could be read that way, but it doesn't say that explicitly. And I know that it doesn't say explicitly, others would have machlokas rishonim about it. It does remind me of a funny story that someone once said, that someone came to the rabbi and said, you know, he was following Rashi's arithmetic and he built a sukkah following Shitas Rashi, and the sukkah fell down. So the rabbi said, yes, that was Tosus's kasha. Okay, so the fact that the Gemara says it doesn't mean it's, but this doesn't mean the Gemara's Metzius is always correct, but the Rishonim would be arguing about it if the Gemara made an explicit statement. Morty?
I don't know if this is addressed in the Gemara or elsewhere, but the sukkah of Hilni Amalga clearly doesn't fall into Rava's definition if it's over 25 feet.
Over 20 amos.
Over 20 amos. So in that case, if you wanted to say that Rava fit with the Tanaim, then you could say that if she was able to make it Arai over 20 amos, then that would work.
But Rava's not, that whole story is not a problem for Rava. Right? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim argue about whether or not Hileni Hamalka sat in a sukkah that was above 20 amos. And the Chachamim said she did, but it didn't matter. She was an Isha. And Rabbi Yehuda said that her children also sat in the sukkah. And it was about 20 amos. There's an argument what happened. Right, and for Rava, any sukkah, imagine what you think a sukkah worthy for a queen would look like. That was Hileni Hamalka's sukkah, and that's what the Chacham Rabbi argued about. Because any sukkah you could start from 20 amos, Rava's going to say is no good according to the Chacham. I mean, Rava's nice in that it's a categorical statement. Rava and Rav Zeira leave the door open to say that it's a limited machlokas. Okay, the last line I read in the Gemara. Before the Mesveh. Probably Mashcha. I would say it could be they argue or just they differ. In other words, the Ukimta is, he's talking about something of the vertical construction of the sukkah, and they're talking about the size of the sukkah. Or he's not talking about size, they are talking about size. However, in other words, both positions hold that the machlokas is limited to the bare minimum sukkah size. Once you get bigger than that, then you can build the 20 amos. And the machlokas is, do you hold like Beis Shammai or you hold like Rebbe? Beis Shammai says that the shir hechsher sukkah is rosh over rosh shulchano. Rebbe says, we're going to see later, dalet amos al dalet amos. So the Gemara says, and we don't know why that what the machlokas is about. Again, that's the one that the Gemara says the lokachan. Or because there's no tzel sukkah, aval. Right now, I'm going to leave you with a question. That's the problem of talking to you guys. It makes me think about things. And Yehuda, you're being a pain here. I just realized another problem with what I said about Rav Zeira earlier. I'm still going to be bothered by the question. Does Rabbi Yehuda not require tzel sukkah? Right, we were worried about Rabbah and Rava. What would they do? Would they also require, you know, the requirement of Rabbi Zeira? Because Rabbi Zeira is the bare minimum. But what is Rabbi Yehuda's shita according to Rabbi Zeira? That you don't need tzel sukkah? Wow. Once you say that, you could say that for Rabbah and Rava too, if you want. I find that hard to believe. But if the definition of, again, going, no, it works, it's fine. You're right, because Rabbi Yehuda is the one holder you need to build the walls out of stuff that's kosher for the schach. Good, excellent, fine. See, worked well. Thank you. Fine. Okay, last question, and then I have something else to talk about. Yeah.
I just wanted to answer, even though that was a great answer. But it's providing shade, just not where you're sitting. Meaning, if you sat in a hammock,
I see a cartoon here. I know we're with cartoons where I draw a picture of, you know, Joey's sukkahs, and you see a guy sitting there with the shade over there, and he's sitting in the sun in the sukkah. I just have a picture in my head. Really?
I mean, you're not sitting in the sun, because you're like.
When the sun is directly overhead, you are. Okay.